We are in the middle of a series, a mini series within, kind of taking a break from the series in Mark. We'll catch back into Mark next week and back into parables and miracles. But what I like to do every spring, either in April or May, somewhere in there, is just try to find time to focus in on missions. We're an Assemblies of God church. Missions is at our core. It's at our heartbeat. It's who we are. And so I wanted to find some time here this spring to really just reemphasize what we're doing in missions, why we're doing it, and how we can each be a part of it. The theme, the series title here is Everybody Can Do Something. I truly believe that everybody can do something when it comes to missions. Everybody can do something when it comes to the Great Commission, that it's not something that we could all do someday. It's something that everybody could do now. And even today is Family Sunday, and we got kids in the room, and our kids are doing something for missions now. They bring their little buddy barrels, and they drop those off at church, and we are seeing each year, our kids are bringing in more and more money through their buddy barrels, and they make popcorn and have popcorn out there and sell us popcorn on the third Sunday of the month, and it's just cool to see our kids engaging in missions and learning what it means to give. Because our kids can do something. We can do something. Everybody can do something. So last week, to kind of kick this off, I talked more specifically on tithing, just wanting to set the stage that really when we look at Scripture, what it teaches us is to bring the tithe to the storehouse. God tells us this in the book of Malachi and teaches it by saying, put me to the test in this, that I won't meet your needs. And so I talked last week about how when we tithe, we're putting God first, and we're giving him the opportunity to meet our need. That when we give him that 10%, we're allowing him the opportunity to show his faithfulness, to show his goodness, to show us that he can meet every one of our needs with the 90%. And it's amazing time and time again how we've just seen God do that over and over. I shared just as a church example, we as a church tithe our general fund. Part of that goes into the Mercy Project, so projects like what Carla just talked about, the roof project we did earlier this spring and still need to finish, and the roof project we did last year, and a few other smaller things that we've done, presents for families that needed them, and different aspects. That comes out of our general fund. That's the way as a church we are tithing, we are giving back to God. We also add extra onto all of our missionaries. Since we started doing that, we've not had a need in the church go unmet. We haven't sat in a board meeting going, well, are we going to have money to do this or not? God has provided. He's met our needs. So we're going to talk missions today. I enjoy missions emphases. I enjoy getting the opportunity to talk about them because whenever I get to meet and interact with missionaries, you hear these stories that are just encouraging. I met with a missionary on Friday. I'll tell you about him a little bit later. I came home after that meeting, and I said to Emily, that was the kind of meeting that just takes your faith from here to here. I mean, you feel an excitement. It was thrilling to just get and sit and talk with this missionary and what God is doing in his ministry. The last 4 years, if you've been a part of this church, you've been on a journey with me. It is actually 4 years ago yesterday, on my wife and I's seventh wedding anniversary, we moved to Spring Valley. And then this week, now tomorrow would be the 4 years since my first day in the office, and June 1st was my first Sunday. And so over the last 4 years, I just have found myself being transformed, being changed. When I started, I didn't quite know what I was doing. Some days I still don't. But I found myself knowing I'm going to come down, I'm going to figure out what God's calling me to do and asking me to do. And I just was open. And I just sought God and asked God. And we hosted the Assemblies of God Centennial Celebration. And during that, a missionary who oversees all of Live Dead. Live Dead is a movement of missionaries who are primarily reaching unreached people groups in the Middle East, in Africa, in areas where Christianity is not always welcome. And this man oversees all of the Live Dead movement. I had an opportunity to thank him last summer. I saw him at General Council. He was running the Live Dead tent, and he was hanging out there. And I went up, and kind of nervous, like the moment where you get to meet somebody who's become a hero for you. And I don't usually geek out about meeting people, but I was a little like, what if he thinks I'm weird for talking to him about this? But I went up and I thanked him and just said, I need to tell you what you said during that centennial celebration. I was a brand new lead pastor, and it completely changed the trajectory of my life, and it changed the trajectory of our church. He said this: if you are listening to this sermon and you pastor an Assemblies of God church, he said that, and I was like, oh, that's me. If you're listening to this sermon and you pastor an Assemblies of God church, but you do not support boots on the ground missionaries around the world, you may carry our name, but you have no part in our spirit. You may have the Assemblies of God sign over your church, but you live in defiant disobedience to the Holy Ghost. Whew. He said that, and it clicked. We got to be a church that's about missions. It's about reaching the lost. We have to get back to our roots. Not that this church wasn't about missions, but for me, as the new lead pastor, it had to become, this is who we're going to be about. This is what we're going to do. We're going to be about missions. So this has caused me to emphasize missions. This has caused me to bring it to you guys every year, trying to put it before you to say, we've got to focus on missions. What can we do? What more can we do? Missions is important. Seeing people come to faith in God is important. Just recently, they released a study that showed of the unreached people groups in the world, which at one point there was 24,000 unreached people groups. Now it's just over 6,500 have never heard the gospel. Which means in my lifetime, there is an opportunity that every nation, every tribe, every tongue will have at least heard the gospel once. And we get to be a part of seeing people hear about Christ and seeing people hear about who Jesus is and the life change that has happened in us, those of us who know him and follow him, the changes that have taken place in our life and in our heart, those changes can happen all around the world, and we get an opportunity to be a part of that. So we're going to read Mark chapter 16, 15 through 16 this morning, and Romans chapter 10, 13 through 17. So you could turn in your Bibles with me. It'll also be on the screen. Mark 16 is a famous verse. You'll recognize it almost immediately. I had it marked, and then I lost my mark here. My mark is gone from Mark. All right, Mark 16, 15 through 16. And he said to them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. And this isn't on the screen, but I'll just read it anyway because Jesus said it, so it must have been important. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. Jesus' first command is to go into all the world, to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ came, lived, and died for our sins, that there is a path to God, there is a path to heaven. Proclaim the good news to all of creation. I think when you boil it down, it means this: how can they believe if we don't go? How can all of creation, how can the whole creation believe in God, find faith in Christ, find peace in Christ, find hope in Christ, find that life-changing transformation that so many of us have experienced? How can they find that if we don't go? We're commanded to go and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. You know what's amazing is the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't see race, ethnicity, it doesn't see color, it doesn't see gender, it doesn't see economic status, it doesn't see religious backgrounds. What it sees are people who, because of sin, are broken. whose lives are shattered, whose lives are hurting, who live in great pain, who exist in great pain, who don't have hope. The gospel sees them all over the world. It sees them in our nation. It sees them in the nations around the world. And we are taught to take the gospel to the whole creation, to everyone, to every person. I believe our missions work begins here at home. Jesus said in another one of the gospels, go first to Jerusalem, which is where they were from. Go first to Jerusalem, then to Judea, to the ends of the earth. I think our missions work begins at home. There's a little sign at the end of the driveway. I reference it every now and again. You are now entering your missions field. When you drive down the hill here, you're entering where God has called you. Not every person can be called to go to Africa. Not every person can be called to go to the other ends of the earth. But you've been called to the end of the earth here. That for somebody, Spring Valley, Minnesota is the end of the world. It's funny. You can laugh. But we've been called to the end of the earth. And the end of the earth is right here. We support some organizations here in Spring Valley that help reach people. We support here locally the Spring Valley Area Ministerial Association, which is a group of churches that have come together. What we do is the organization oversees a couple of other organizations that kind of fall under their umbrella. Every Friday, kids in our school district that come from low-income families who don't have enough, who don't make enough, don't have enough income, who qualify for this, kids in our school district go home with backpacks full of food to have on the weekend. Every Friday, kids from our district go home and are sent home with food. That's part of what the ministerial oversees. There's a great person who runs it, really runs it independently from us. We don't have to do a lot because she's so faithful with what she's got. We oversee the food shelf, which the food shelf really runs itself. It's a terrific board, great group of people, and a terrific community that supports it. And the food shelf, I believe it's over 100 households a month receive food from the food shelf. And when you're talking per person, you can receive up to 20 pounds of food. That is a lot of food each year that's going out into our community to provide for people's needs, to reach into the community. The Ministerial Association does more than that. We help people who, if they're traveling through town and the car breaks down, we've paid automotive bills. If they're traveling through town and they run out of gas, we've bought gas. We've given them nights to sleep. We help people in our community who can't pay bills, who are struggling, who we help in some of those financial needs. But the Ministerial Association oversees one thing that I think is really cool. We oversee the baccalaureate program at Kingsland. On Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, me and a couple other ministers from town get to do something that I never got to do in a school when I was a youth pastor. We get to worship. We get to pray. We get to preach Jesus Christ in a voluntary program that the students choose to come to or choose not to come to. And we get to tell them that God has a plan for your life and a purpose for your life and to follow after him. It's a cool opportunity. Our ministerial does a lot of things in our community. And we as a church support it monthly. We also support an organization called Teen Challenge. That's not necessarily here in Spring Valley, although we do have a great representative and someone who works there who champions Teen Challenge. And you guys are going to be blessed in January when their choir is going to come down and sing for us that particular Sunday. But Teen Challenge helps those who are working to overcome drug and alcohol addiction. And God has a plan to see freedom and deliverance come into their lives. And Teen Challenge has a remarkable rate of recovery and it's a remarkable place. There happens to be a men's facility and a woman's facility in Rochester. And we support on a monthly basis Richard Sherber, who oversees all of Minnesota. We help his ministry. We support him as he's a home missionary. But we also support Teen Challenge through donating Bibles. We give Life Recovery Bibles to Teen Challenge. Alan, whenever he calls me, I'm like, okay, I'll try to order you some more. And these go out right into the hands of men who are working their program, who are trying to get their life back together. And the Word of God is vital to that. We don't have currently enough financially committed to them to cover all the Bibles the men's facility needs, and we haven't even gotten started with giving any to the women's facility. Teen Challenge does important work, and we want to believe that missions begins here at home, here locally. And so we sow into that. If you would flip over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, I think, is one of the great missions sending passages in all of Scripture. It tells us this in verses 13 through 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. The other passage, I think, boiled down to how can they believe if we don't go? And this one is, how can they believe if we don't do something? How can they believe if we don't do something? How can people who don't know Christ find him if we who know him sit on our hands? If we sit idly by? If we do nothing? We are commanded to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. It tells us here that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Sometimes I think because of our media coverage and because of the things that are thrown our way, we lose sight of the fact that there is an entire world outside of the borders of the United States of America, that so many of them are destined to an eternity in hell unless someone goes, unless someone is sent, unless someone preaches. That there are people all around this world who have never heard the name of Jesus. There are people all around this world who have been told lies about Jesus, who have been told lies about Christians. But God doesn't judge them because they... God doesn't judge them because they're not the right type of person to hear the gospel. God judges them because we haven't been faithful to bring them the gospel. There are people all over the world who don't know Christ. How can they call on him unless they believe? But how can they believe if they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching? How can they preach unless they are sent? How can they believe if we don't do something? If we don't do something. I believe part of the call to reach the nations is the call to send. Nobody in this room, to my knowledge, currently has a call to go somewhere else besides Spring Valley. Every one of us, we feel called to Spring Valley. I feel called to Spring Valley. I know this is where God called me to be. He didn't call me to Africa. He didn't call me to Europe. He didn't call me to any far place. He called me here to come to Spring Valley, to preach the gospel here in Spring Valley. Many of you are called to this area. You're called to this community. You're called to this county. You're called to this region. God has called you here. But he can still use you to bring the gospel all around the world. He can still use you to bring the gospel in some of the hardest, most difficult places. God can use you by letting you be one who sends. The Assemblies of God is a mission-sending movement. The priority is evangelism. The very founding of the Assemblies of God was founded on them saying, we resolve to be the greatest work of evangelism the world has ever known. It is in our DNA, it is in our heartbeat, it is who we are to seek and save the lost. That is what Jesus said his mission was, his purpose was to, the Son of Man comes to seek and save the lost. That is what we are called to do, to pick that up and to go into all the world, to bring the gospel to all of creation, to every person, so all might hear, so all might know who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for them. We have been given an opportunity. Every one of us can reach the world for Christ. We currently support 22 missionaries or missions-based organizations out of this church. Let me tell you about a few of those organizations and what they're doing around the world. We currently support an organization called Priority One. We raised some money for them the other night at Pizza Ranch during that fundraiser. Their founder, the great and amazing, awesome, I love this guy. He's the coolest old guy I've ever met, Sam Johnson. He's going to be here Father's Day and preaching that day, and you're going to get to meet him if you didn't meet him a few years ago when he came. But Sam runs an organization called Priority One, which works to build Bible schools all over the world. There are countries, there are nations where they have far more people trying to become pastors, training to be pastors, than they have room for them in their Bible colleges. I'm going to be going and traveling with Sam to Tanzania this fall, and while we're there, we're going to tour a Bible college. We're going to see a place where they have 85 beds and about 300 to 350 students. But their theory is this. We can send missionaries from America all around the world, and we need to send missionaries from all around the from America to all around the world. But who better to reach Tanzania than a native Tanzanian? Who better to reach those people than someone who is part of that people group? And so we can send missionaries, and we need to send missionaries, but we also need to train people to do the Great Commission right there where they're at. And so Priority One receives the most mission support that our church gives out. Priority One is a quick, fast track for them to build these schools and get these people trained, and they're seeing great fruit, and Sam's going to tell you more about it next month. Priority One is something that we could always give more to. Speed the Light. Let me tell you about Speed the Light. Speed the Light's what our teenagers support in missions. Speed the Light rests close to my heart as a former youth pastor. Speed the Light, what they do is they provide vehicles and sound equipment to missionaries. I've gotten the privilege to ride around in a Speed the Light car and van. When we were in Estonia, Heidi was an essential member of the team. Heidi was the big blue Mercedes van that they had that hauled us all around the country. And we enjoyed our times in Heidi, those who were on the trip. Heidi's essential to them. But it's not just about vehicles, and it's not just about sound equipment. Speed the Light's begun in the last number of years to begin working with digging wells, water wells, primarily in Africa, where these nations that struggle with waterborne illnesses, where the majority of their children die because of bad water. Something so preventable, something so solvable. What Speed the Light does is it goes and drills a well next to a church. And then when people come, they come to the church to receive water. It opens up doors and opportunities for the missionaries to preach and to show them who God is and what Jesus has done for them. Speed the Light is also working a lot in recent years with human trafficking. And what's amazing is teenagers around our nation are giving to Speed the Light to help prevent other teenagers and children from being sold into trafficking, used and abused. I want to tell you about Nick and Olivia Puccini. They're from Estonia. They planted a church. They are seeing people all over Tallinn come to know Christ, all over Estonia come to know Christ. I pray for them very frequently. I still feel that there is going to come a time where God calls me to go back on another short-term trip back there because I just don't feel done in that area. I feel there's more for us to accomplish as a church in the Baltics. But they're reaching people who have largely moved away from Christianity and just abandon the faith altogether. It's in a completely post-Christian culture. And they're bringing hope and life, sharing what God can do in a life surrendered to Him, a life given to Him. I want to tell you about my friend that I met the other day. I'm going to call him Larry, but that's not his name. The next missionary that I'm not going to tell you his name is going to be Bob. I was thinking about VeggieTales this morning, I guess. So Larry serves as he coaches church planting teams in the Live Dead movement for the Middle East. Larry's job, Larry's position, is to work with missionaries who are going to go in to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, some of these areas where the gospel is not well received, and they're going to go and try to plant a church. Now, it looks a little different than if we were to go and try to plant a church. But he works with these people, trains these people. He is fluent in Arabic. And the first year of the program with him, they are going language school like 20 hours a week. They are becoming fluent in Arabic. The next year is about creating their private identities and their professional identities and getting them into these countries. And his role is to really just train up and get these missionaries ready to go into some of the hardest places in the world to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what he told me was this. He goes, James, we are seeing Muslims come to faith like we've never seen before. We're seeing opportunities to witness. We're seeing Muslims that are saying, we have seen what 35 years of religious war has done. We've seen the devastation of our communities blown up, of our communities destroyed, of families torn apart, of children killed, of parents killed. We have seen it all in the name of God, and we want nothing to do with it. And the missionaries are going, well, have you heard about Jesus? And these Muslims are going, well, yeah, he's a prophet, isn't he? And then they tell them the gospel and who Jesus is, and what they're seeing is people all over the Arab world coming to faith in Jesus Christ. He gets an opportunity to train those who are going into these churches. He is home for just a few months, and while he's home, he's meeting with any pastor that'll meet with him to just say, look, we don't need much. I don't need a service. I don't need to come to your church, but we need $500 more a month. That's what they're looking to raise while they're home. And he's telling me this. I'm going, boy, we could help with that. I bet we could help with that somehow. I know we've got some funds available to help with that. So we're going to work to bring him on because of what they're trying to do and accomplish. The next guy's name is Bob. Bob pastors a church in Djibouti, Africa. We can all laugh. That's a funny name. It's funny. He pastors a church, and his dream is to come to a point where they're building one of those Priority One Bible College, where they're building it in his ministry, reaching people. They just started a training school, a small training school where they're working on raising up people from that land to plant other churches. He sent out a letter recently, came and asked pastors, would you ask your congregation? He goes, if every church who receives this letter gives $15 a month, we can get back. Would you consider asking 15 people to give $1 a month? It's not a lot. Everybody can do something. We have missionaries all over the world. You and I are probably never going to go to Djibouti. You and I are probably going to never go to Syria, to Lebanon. You and I are probably going to never go to Iraq. We may never go to Estonia. We may never go to Peru or to Chile. We may never go to all of these places. We may never set foot on that ground. But you and I can do something to see the gospel go and be proclaimed. You and I can give. We can give to see it happen. We can give to see it so that somebody can come to faith in Christ, so people can know the hope that we have found. I believe everybody can do something. Last week I talked about tithing, and I just want to, I'll say it again, I said it last week. If you are just starting in that journey in your faith, where you're just beginning to tithe, or you're saying, I'm trusting God, I'm giving 10%, that's a stretch, but I'm doing this thing because I believe God has called us to it, I'm going to follow this, I'm going to obey this. I want to just tell you, as it comes to missions pledges, please know you're already doing something. As I explained earlier, we're giving 10% to missions, so you're already doing something. But if you're a person who tithes regularly, is contributing regularly, and there's something in your heart that's saying, I could give, I could do something, I could be a part of this, there are opportunities for you. I've had these up front, but Steve, could you grab one of these and kind of get it to the back? And Jakin, since you're right there, would you grab this and get it to the back? I don't want this to be a show thing. I don't want this to be a compulsory thing. Last week I said this at the beginning of the message from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Do not give under compulsion. Do not give with regret. I want this to be as guilt-free an opportunity to say, today you can have an opportunity to give to missions, to pledge to missions. I've asked you to pray. Last week I asked you to pray, what could I give in a month? What could my family do? What could I do? I want this to be guilt-free. I don't want you to feel compelled. I don't want you to feel like you're forced, that your arm is twisted, that you have to do it. I want you to be sitting here going, what could I do to see people hear the gospel all around the world and to feel joy about it? There is on those boards, and I can print more of them, but there are these cards that have different numbers on them, just little cards. Some say $10 a month because everybody can do something. You could take a lunch off once a month, fast one lunch, pray for a missionary, give to a missionary. Everybody can do something. You could do $50 a month. You could do $100 a month. All the way up and up it goes. I just want to ask you to consider, what could you do? Everybody can do something. If you're watching with us on Facebook and you don't have access to a card, you can send me a private message, send the church a private message if you're sensing that you want to be a part of this and part of help us to fund missionaries. And what we're going to do is, I know the total value, the sum total of if every one of those cards was taken, it would be $57,000, which would be almost $40,000 increase over last year what we gave to missions as a church. And so I'm just putting it out there that just in faith to say, what could happen if everybody did something? What if we all did something? What if we felt God tell us, give 100, give 50, fast a meal, fast this? What could we do to see the gospel reached? And what's going to happen is at the end of the next week or two, we're going to have a meeting with our missions committee, and we're going to figure out, where can we spread this out? Who can we give this to? Where can this add to? And we're going to see lives changed and lives transformed. So would you please stand with me? We're going to close this morning. Worship team can come back. That would be helpful. And I want to just ask you to do this. While they play, under no compulsion, would you make your way back to one of the boards? If you want to give monthly to missions, if you want to be a part of what we're doing as a church in spreading the gospel, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to the whole creation, would you just step to the back of the room, grab a card? And by doing that, we'll just add that number. I know what cards are there and what cards are missing. And by doing that, we'll know what we're going to give. Our prayer teams are going to be available here to pray with you. Would you just join me? Let's just sing a song, close in worship. If you want to take a card, go take a card, and then we'll come back and pray to go.